Hello, and welcome to Boundary Conditions' first ever podcast. I am Eugene Day, and
I am Melissa Vaught.
And together we are recreational runners and are excited to talk about and share our experiences running in the world. And today we are going to be talking about what happens when you make the shift from road running to trail running. So we have made that shift starting in the past year when we moved out to Seattle. We went from being road runners out on the East Coast, where almost all of our training runs and races were on the roads and on pavement and basically flat, to now coming out to Seattle, where just about every run has some significant vertical gain compared to running in Philadelphia and DC, where we used to be. And we are deliberately doing lots and lots and lots and lots of runs on the incredible trail system that exists out here in Washington State. So, without further ado then, Melissa, what do you think about the trail running here in Washington, and what is it like that's different for you here instead of out on the East Coast?
I've really had an amazing time this summer doing trail running. It's been such a great way to get out and to see parts of our new home area that I probably wouldn't see otherwise. And it's a lot of that really kind of natural beauty, the grandiose views, and a lot of the just incredible picturesque scenes that I think are prototypic for the Pacific Northwest. And it's been a really fun thing for me to explore being new to this area.
Yeah, and of course, I grew up here as a child. I was born in Woodinville. I went to school on Bainbridge Island. My mother took me to these trails when I was a kid. I remember going to Hurricane Ridge when I was 8 or 9 years old, but it never really connected with me. I did not enjoy hiking as a 9-year-old. I'm not sure many 9-year-olds do. But when we came back here and we started doing it, at first, I think it was kind of a novelty for me. We had talked about wanting to do an ultramarathon, and of course almost all ultramarathons are on trails, but it never really, I think, registered that that meant that we would be doing as much trail running as we have been in the past 9 months. And the result has been that we've been all over the place, we've seen some of these incredible things, and I have learned a lot about what it means to be a trail runner instead of a road runner in a very short period of time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right, we've talked a little bit about, between the two of us, of how different it is to go from the East Coast to here. You know, back when we would run in Bethesda, we could go out the Capitol Crescent Trail or the Rock Creek Trail, and it was, you know, it wasn't entirely flat, but there definitely wasn't much in the way of hills. It was a lot of paved. And
I remember it feeling like there were hills, right?
Right.
When we would run back up that 1% grade for a couple of miles back into Bethesda.
Right. And we were like, oh, the 6-mile hill is going to be great training for our, you know, for our road races. And it was, but this is like so totally different. And of course, you know, I went trail running in Iceland a few years ago when you sent me on the trail running retreat for my birthday, and it was incredible. And that was definitely one of the things that I learned there, was realizing that I feel like trail running is almost a little bit of a misnomer, because for the average runner,
it's... And we are very average.
Yes. It's really not as much, it's not entirely running. It is a lot of power hiking, up hills and then running when you can, when it flattens out or when it's, you know, going downhill. And even some of the downhills, you have to slow down a bit just to be sure you don't lose complete and total control.
So talk a little bit more about that trip. We went on that trip in the summer of 2015, I think. And yeah. You did it with a group run by Eleanor Fish called Run Wild Retreats. You can find her on Twitter at @IRunMindfully. I feel like that was kind of a formative experience for you and discovering how much you loved being out in the trails in nature. Is that right?
So, I mean, I think I had a little bit of a different experience growing up with regard to hiking. I had a different relationship with it than you did. For me, when I was a kid, so I grew up in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains and had a lot of family, like, you know, close family that lived up on top of the mountains, which are sort of hills compared to places here. But they were the mountains that we had. And, you know,
there's a lot of rugged country out there. Those are mountains. Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the weekends and sort of the memories that I have is on Saturdays, after church, my family going up to my, you know, going to my grandparent, my great grandparents' house. And, you know, it was a fairly rural area and we would go sometimes after lunch, my dad and my brother and I, and sometimes one of my great uncles, that we would go just walking in the woods. And sometimes that would turn into a fairly long hike, you know, kind of cutting through various people's properties, which you probably wouldn't do so much today now, but and, you know, ending up over at Mabry Mill, which is this like very iconic image that shows up in a lot of places. And I always really enjoyed that time. I enjoyed being outside and, you know, seeing nature and being surrounded by green and knowing, you know, learning the names of plants and animals and that sort of thing.
I used to play as a kid outdoors, but hiking felt different to me. Like, it was just not something that I connected with. My family had 10 acres of forest on Bainbridge Island, and there were trails and all kinds of fun things. And I would go back there after school and play in the woods until I was, you know, coated in grass stains and dirt. And so I was never like averse to being outside, although I certainly never enjoyed camping or that kind of thing. But for whatever reason, like the idea of going out on a hike, just, I didn't connect with it until I came back here.
Yeah. And I think then, so I kind of got disconnected from some of that, you know, once I started college and you just get busy and getting out to trails is more of a challenge. And I picked up a little bit of mountain biking when I was in grad school, but not a lot. And so, you know, it was, and especially the places that I lived, the cities that I lived, really getting out into the woods was more challenging. And especially the last several years when I didn't own a car, it takes a lot more effort to, you know, get something and to get out and to get things done. And so I think, you know, the thing that really connected for me on that trail running retreat, you know, first of all, it was just a lot of it was just disconnecting from technology for a little bit, of really taking that concept of retreat or sabbatical, almost like almost a Sabbath. It was really valuable to sort of get some distance from things, I think, to have some quiet time for reflection, and then to get out onto the trails and to just, you know, carry yourself through these incredible scenes that were there to really experience it. And I think a big part of that, because a central theme of that retreat was not just about running, but about wellness and mindfulness. And so it was also about being present in that moment and paying attention, you know, looking up, not being so obsessed with, you know, how long is this run taking me? How far have I gone? But actually paying attention to the world around you.
I remember when you were leaving for that, we were in the middle of training for our first road marathon, the Marine Corps Marathon. And we had gotten up to, at that point, maybe, you know, 30-mile weeks. Our long runs were 13 or 14 miles, maybe even a little bit further than that, but not much. And this trail run retreat had like 5 to 9 miles a day for 6 days. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, that's so much. You're going to burn out. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to injure yourself. But the trails are just such a different animal than road running.
Yeah.
That I think it just doesn't compute. It doesn't compare to, you know, if even today, if I were to go out and run 6 to 9 miles a day, every day for 6 days, I could do that. That doesn't strike me as being extraordinarily challenging, but it would definitely represent a major jump in mileage over what I usually do in a week. And
well, and I think part of the thing with that was very often it wasn't so much about mileage, but a bit more about time. And you know, I think a lot of people, when it comes to trail running, a lot of people do take that strategy, is that it's not about how far you go, it's how long you're out there.
Absolutely. I think that that's one of the things that I'm starting to learn. So let's talk a little bit then precisely about what is the difference between training for roads and training for trails. Because we're currently training for the Fragrance Lake 50-kilometer trail race, which takes place just south of Bellingham, Washington, on Chuckanut Mountain.
And just for those who are not so familiar with the metric system, that's 31 miles.
Right. It's a 31-mile race, and it has 7,500 feet of vertical gain. So over the course of the 31 miles, you climb and descend each 7,500 feet, which is not quite a mile and a half. So in addition to running 31 miles, we are climbing a mile and a half high ladder, right? So it's a big day. It's on trails. Most of the trails are not super, super technical. They're, you know, we're not going to be running on loose gravel and rocks. There's no boulder fields. But it's a lot of dirt single track, and it's going to be late February in northern Washington, which means it's going to be wet and cold and possibly raining. So it's definitely going to be a big, tough day, and we have to train for that differently than we would train for a road marathon. And so for me, my focus is, part of it is on getting the vertical distance in. I think that's the thing that I am most concerned about. I guess concerned isn't exactly the right word. I'm concerned about everything when it comes to this race. There's a lot of things that I know I need to train up for and get into better shape for. But being able to climb long stretches of steep grade, there's a couple of hills on this race where we're climbing, you know, 2,000 feet over 3 miles or something like that. And that's a tough, tough climb.
Yeah.
And so for me, I've been practicing running up, you know, the 4% and 5% and 6% and 7% grades that we have on roads near our house, and practicing being able to keep moving at that sort of higher vertical pitch. What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you think about that race, and what's different between that and maybe a road race?
I mean, definitely the amount of elevation that's involved. You know, I think when you look at a lot of the the races that are out here for the 50Ks and the just a lot of the trail races in general, it sometimes feels like there's a bit of a competition between the race directors to see how much vertical gain can we cram into this race. But I think this will be a fun one. I feel like, you know, we had originally planned to do one with a very similar amount of vertical gain a few weeks ago. And then because of injury, we weren't able to do that. And I had been really nervous about making that and making it at the cutoff because that one had an 8-hour cutoff. But we ended up doing that as a 20-mile race, and it had about 4,000 feet of gain. And I think that was a real confidence booster for me because I realized, like, okay, I can do this. And that one had a pretty good long climb in it.
It did.
In the middle.
Yeah.
And
it was about a 1,500 feet climb over...
It was like a mile and a half.
Mile and a half, maybe 2 miles, yeah.
Yeah, and so that sort of gave me some confidence about the vertical gain where it's like, okay, we actually... do know how to train for that. Like, even despite our injuries, we managed to train for that sort of gain over the summer. And so I think, you know, that's something that we can continue building on.
Well, and for the record, Melissa had a much better day that day than I did. Melissa finished that race in about 4:45, and it took me closer to 5:20. I really only had a few weeks to truly train for it, and I had to rely on sort of my base fitness because I had a number of injuries that kept me from doing anything. But it definitely... 20 miles was the longest we had covered since the 2016 Philadelphia Marathon. And so it was important to me to know that I could just get out there and be on my feet for more than 5 hours and... cover that kind of distance and that kind of verticality. It was confidence boosting in the sense that I know I could do it now, but I am concerned about my pace because trails, and this is one of the other big issues with trails, no matter how fast or slow you are, you're going to be slower on trails. Yeah. Even the trails that don't have a great deal of vertical gain, like the footing is different, the challenges, the rapid turns.
And I think if you look at for us, which like we said, we're not fast by any means. We are relatively middle of the pack when it comes to pace at road distances, at the road races that we've done. And, you know, we've done a sub 2-hour half marathon twice.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did one just back in May. And, we slowed down a little bit over the summer because of injury and I think just the increased training volume. But by comparison, you know, my 20-mile race was at a 14:40-ish pace, something like that. We did a half marathon, a trail half marathon this weekend, so about 13 miles and about 2,400 foot of gain, and that took us like a 15-something average.
Yeah, like 15:20, I think, yeah.
And so it's considerably slower, and part of that's the trails, part of that's the vertical gain that you have to get through. I think this weekend sort of helped too for my confidence because Fragrance Lake has a 10-hour cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that says, okay, that's something that feels achievable.
Yeah, it does. And so a 10-hour cutoff for a 50K works out to about 19-minute miles.
Yeah.
And so doing 13 at a 15-minute pace, maybe a little slower than that, now with still about 3 months to train, I feel like, okay, I can probably get to where I need to be to finish that race within the time limit. No matter what we do, it's going to be a hard day. I think one of the things that I'm concerned about is just being in pain for a really long time. Trails often, like for me, trails tend to hurt more than road races. There's just so many more things that trigger my nerves. the foot pounding is part of it. And that's one of the things that I discovered from trails that you just don't get, or at least I just don't get on a road race. And that is foot strength. We think about, okay, I got to have these big quads for descending and big hamstrings and glutes for climbing and calves for climbing. And, you know, it's all about legs. And then maybe it's core and shoulders because you have to, you know, flail your arms to stay balanced. And so, your shoulders and your core need to be fit. But for me, the muscles that are the most crucial that clearly have the furthest to go from right now are the muscles below my ankles. So like from that big knob on your ankle all the way down into the toes, whatever muscles are there in the feet. And you know, it never even really occurred to me that there are muscles in my feet, right? But those muscles get so tired and so sore really, really rapidly. And so like on that trail half yesterday, I was in a decent amount of pain from about mile 7 on, and I was in a lot of pain from mile 10 on. And I really think it basically just comes down to foot strength and foot endurance. And I just need to be able to strengthen those and get them to a point where 30 miles isn't going to just be 7 hours of agony.
Yeah. Whereas for me, like I got a little bit of that foot soreness from the pounding. I don't get it as badly as you do, or it doesn't affect me in quite the same way that it does you. Because actually what I've had in the last couple of trail races is that there's a point like somewhere in the middle of the last half where I just feel kind of free and relaxed and loose. And yeah, I'm tired and there are things that are hurting, but like that's where I start to feel pretty comfortable on the trails despite all of that.
I would love for that to happen for me. I know that feeling in road races, and so I don't doubt that I could get there in trail races. It's just I'm not there yet. But like I remember when we're training for what we call being half marathon fit. And when we talk about wanting to be half marathon fit, we basically mean that any old day of the week, if we decide to stay home from work or whatever, we ought to be able to run a half marathon without stopping. And when I'm feeling half marathon fit and running on roads, there the miles between about mile 4 and 11 just feel like I'm flying, and I don't have to go fast. Like I'm not going fast. I might be running 10-minute miles, but I feel comfortable and I feel good, even when, okay, my quads are tired or my calves are tired or whatever it is. It's just a really wonderful experience, and I haven't gotten that yet in trails. I love what we see. I love being out there in nature. I love the experience of challenging myself in a whole new way, but I haven't found that place yet where I'm just really enjoying the run. The one exception to that, I think, was that day that we went up onto Tiger Mountain and it was pouring rain and 35 mm-hmm. degrees. And I had a blast that day.
I had a lot of fun that day, too. I think that sort of ties into what one of my major concerns is for this 50K, which is the weather. Because I've talked about it a little bit on the blog before, that the worst race I ever had in terms of just the absolute most miserable I felt was a few years ago, one year that we did the Shamrock Half Marathon in Virginia Beach, and that was at the end of March. And that year it ended up being like 37 degrees and pouring rain at the start. the rain let up, but by that
point, rain let up about mile four. Yeah.
Yeah. But by that point I was already soaked through. I was freezing and I just like, it made everything, my entire body just reacted to it. Right. It was, my calves were tightening up. I couldn't move fast enough to stay warm because of my legs, but then everything got worse and I was really uncomfortable because I was cold because I couldn't move fast enough. And so I think, you know, one of the things, the differences for me with trail running is that, you know, there is some, it's not like a road race where typically I kind of get warmed up and then once I'm warm, I'm going to stay warm the entire time and I'm set for the rest of the run. I recognize that, especially, you know, for some of those climbs up the hills or even some of those descents where I can't go, where I'm not going super fast, my heart rate's dropping down and I'm recovering, which is great. It's like a really useful thing, but it also means that I'm going to get cold. And because it could be wet as well, like one of the things that I'm really concerned about is hitting that point where it's like, this is miserable, I'm cold, I'm wet. And so part of my approach to trail running is like changing a little bit what I carry with me and how I dress for those so that I have that option to layer up or take things off as needed. And what I did for that Cougar Mountain race, because it was going to be some potential rain that day, was carrying a dry bag so that I could throw extra layers into my pack and be sure that I had something dry. That way, if I got soaked and it let up and I needed to change into something else, then I had that option.
Yeah. And I think that's something that's really worth mentioning anytime you're talking about trail running, when you're going out into the mountains to trail run, which is what we tend to do. We've got a few little parks around here where we can get some trail miles in, but when we go trail running, we drive up into the Cascades and we hit a trailhead and we go places sometimes where you're not going to see another person. Maybe you might see one every couple of hours. You might not see one the whole day. And so when you do that, you really do need to carry equipment for what happens if you turn your ankle and you can't move fast enough to stay warm and it's cold and it's wet and it's mm-hmm. raining. People die out in the mountains all the time because they get hypothermic and they weren't prepared. So yeah, we do carry things in the dry bag and stuff like that in order to be able to manage those situations.
And I think like that run that you were talking about at Tiger Mountain, that was cold rain. Like that was one of those.
We were not prepared for that. No. Yeah. That was a dangerous run.
Right. And you know, that was one of those days we actually met, ran into somebody else who was out for a trail run that day and we ran with her for maybe a mile or two.
As long as we could keep up.
And that was at the start of the run and it was like, you know, it was cool and rainy and we were kind of chatting and, exchanged phone numbers and afterwards, you know, we're texting and like, she said something about, you know, be sure to have layers when you go out there because, you know, you can get into trouble really quickly. And that was sort of a bit of a reality check too, because it was so wet and cold. And after that, sort of, it seems obvious in a way, but at, you know, after someone says like, oh yeah, that could have been, we could have gotten into some trouble if we had, you know, if something had slowed us down out there.
Yeah. If you're out in the mountains and it rains and you can't stay dry and you can't start a fire, you can die the first night you're out there. And so it's really important to be able to get yourself dry. So yeah, we carry dry layers in a dry bag and waterproof jackets and that kind of thing. And it means that you're carrying a little more weight when you go out there, but I think that's okay.
It's the trade-off.
It's the trade-off. And that's another reason that it's a little slower on trails. Like even in races though, when you're not carrying that stuff because there's aid stations and, you know, you're still slower on trails even then. The fastest I've ever been was, so we did this race in Carkeek Park, which is a little park in Seattle, in July, and it was a 10K, and I finished it in right about an hour and 2 minutes, I think. I think I was really doing about perfectly a 10-minute mile. And I was about as fit as I've ever been in my whole life, and that was really, really hard. It was 2 3.1 mile loops, each with about 350 feet of gain. And
per loop, right?
Per loop, yeah. Each loop had about 350 feet. And it was so hard. But it was a great race. I had a lot of fun. That was put down by Northwest Trail Runs, who they put on a lot of great little races around Seattle. And it just goes to show you, managing your expectations when you're switching from road running to trail running, I think, is really crucial. Because if you are someone who cares a lot about your time, and I'm fortunate in that, like, PR chasing has not been a big part of my running experience. I love it when I hit a PR, and there have been times when we've tried to see, oh, maybe we can PR today. But for the most part, chasing a PR is not why I'm out there. But it was still really humbling to get on trails and realize, wow, I have dropped speed by like 25%. And
that's not just us, right?
No, that's everybody. Yeah.
It's like, that's everyone. Like, and I heard, was listening to a podcast one day. I was talking to somebody who was like a pretty fast road runner. And he was like, you know, and he was talking about being out on trails. And now that he was running, you know, 9 minute miles. And that if you had told him that he would ever run a 9 minute mile 2 years before, he would have assumed it was on crutches.
Right.
You know, it's just a really different experience, and you have to let go of the things about, you know, maintaining a steady pace, because that's not a thing that's reasonable when you've got so much change in the, you know, the type of track you're running on and the going up and coming down. And so, like, the whole idea of doing a steady pace, you know, having expectations for time.
Yeah. Just not a thing.
Just time to set that aside.
Right. I think, the other thing that is really, really different about trails, but that I personally found really gratifying, is that trails absolutely kicked my ass. The kind of fitness that you need to run trails, even slower, even 25% slower than running roads, is a whole different level of fitness, because you're engaging all kinds of muscles that you don't really use when you're road running. There's all this lateral movement and plant and turn and ankle strength when your foot doesn't land flat every time, and maintaining your balance by moving your core around and going up steep grades that you go up steeper grades than you ever do on roads, because roads are designed for, you know, cars, and cars don't go up 12, 15, 18% grades very often. But on trail running, you will do that even on a relatively ordinary trail. There will be sections that are really steep up, so even if they're not super long, even if you're not going up a mountain. And so that engages your glutes differently, your hamstrings differently, your quads, your core. It's just an entirely different level of fitness and number of muscles that you engage.
And it's also mentally engaging in a different
way. Yes.
You have to be paying attention. Like, you're not going to remember it because it's gone as soon as you've passed it. But you actually have to, you're engaging in all of these little calculations about, you're scanning, you're spending more time scanning the trail and looking for that rock or that root or that little bump in the trail that could throw you off and that you're either going to avoid or you're trying to step over or you're springing off of.
Right. And that's another good point too. Like, you end up jumping a lot on trails because you're either jumping over something or you're jumping down from something.
Bounding,
sure. Or lurching like a Sasquatch. I'm someone, even when I road run, I'm always just sort of looking at the 6 feet of pavement ahead of me, but that has been a real boon for me when I'm trail running, because my natural position is to look at my feet, and you have to, right? It's this organic thing. And to me, it feels really, really natural to be looking at my feet at the 6 feet in front of me and making sure that the way I'm running isn't going to bring me down.
Yeah, see, for me, I'm sort of looking a little bit further ahead typically to, because I know that whatever is right under my feet, I think that my body knows what to do with that.
My body does not know what to do with that.
But I think that's the thing, is like I've typically already planned that out and I've already, it's already happening. And so I'm paying attention to what's a few steps ahead.
Yeah, I can't play 10-dimensional chess with a trail. I have to just look at exactly what's in, you know, my next footstep and the one after that. And the last footstep behind me, gone.
Yeah.
It's just vanished. Sometimes I liken it to like imagining being a person, you know, 10,000 years ago being chased by a tiger or whatever, right? You only have to pay attention to the next step to make sure that you can keep running and not fall. And anything that you've already passed is absolutely unimportant anymore because that's in the tiger's world.
Well, and even anything that's more than, you know, a few hundred feet in front of you is
meaningless, right?
Meaningless. And I think that's one of the fun and exciting things about trail running is that it really forces you to be more in the moment.
It does. Absolutely, it does. But it also then forces you to pay attention when you want to come out of that moment. Because especially, you know, when we're running in the Cascades and we're running on these ridges or these inclines, and you come out into a clearing and you can see 1,000 miles across these incredible landscapes that are unbelievably beautiful, I have to remember to stop and look up or I'll just miss it. And yeah, it's the most beautiful thing in the whole history of the world. And I missed it because I'm running around looking to make sure I don't step on a rock or a root. And luckily, Melissa's very, very good at being able to do both. And did you see that animal? Did you see this mountain?
And I think that's been the important thing, especially I feel like we were really focused on getting our distance and our vert and back in the summer before we were injured, and that it was became a little bit more of work. And I think that's one of the things that I'm trying to be really mindful of as we gear up for training for this 50K is to not get so absorbed in thinking about the training that I end up missing the world around me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point. I'm excited for this. I think it's going to be a super big challenge. I think that it's going to be something that we're really proud to have done together. We run most of our races together. Especially the like our road half marathons. Since we became a couple, we started running together at the, well, when training for the Pittsburgh half marathon in 2014. Since then, we've run 15 or 16 half marathons together, and we've run every one of them side by side. The same is true with our two full marathons. The 20 miler we ran a little separately, in part just because I was not in a position where I could physically take on the challenge the same way Melissa could. But the 50K, I think our plan is to run it together. Running together on single track is also a little different than running on roads. If you are someone who runs with your partner like we are, it is a little bit different because one of you has to lead and one of you has to follow. And it can be a little harder to carry on a conversation when you're not side by side rather than running, you know, when you're running for, you know, one after another. So it is a different experience running as a couple as well. It's a good experience. I'm not saying it's worse. It's just something that changed a little bit. And there's a little bit less in the way of conversation, but I think a lot more in the way of feeling connected. And I don't know what it is about nature that does that, mm-hmm. but there is something about nature that does that. You feel really connected. It's been really wonderful for us. And also, I think the time frame is different. It's really interesting, you know, when marathon training, we would go out for 4-hour runs sometime, and that's a long time to go and run, but with trail running, it's 6 hours. It's 9 hours sometimes when we're out there and, you know, we pause the watches and we sit down and have a sandwich. And there's just, it really is. It's just a different experience because the expectation you have for the time is different. And then, you know, we may have a 2 hour drive to a trailhead and a 2 hour drive home with a 6 hour run in the middle. And it's an all day affair. And it is not lost on me the privileges that we have that allow us to do that. But it's an enveloping lifestyle in a way that training for road runs, training for road runs doesn't demand as much of your time as training for trail ultramarathons does.
Yeah.
So, what our first trail race together was the Charlie Horse Half Marathon in Reading, Pennsylvania. It's done by Pagoda Runners. It's very well put together race that I had about the worst time of my life in. Don't get me wrong. Today I am darned proud of that effort, but it was about the hardest thing I've ever done. It was 13.4 miles. It had 1,900 feet of gain. I think one of the things that made it really, really hard was that it was 85 degrees and really, really humid.
And it was the first hot week that we had really had.
So there had been no training in the heat. But crucially, we were not trained for trails. We had not run on trails, like, at all. And we hadn't run hills.
I had done a little bit of hill repeats before that race. But also the hills that I had access to, you know, easy access to, were not that. I mean, I had that, like, 5% grade over behind NIH.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, I think one thing that, so, and I turned my ankle at mile 7, like I always seem to do, and we hiked in. It took us 3 hours and 45 minutes, and
it was 3:48.
3:48, sorry. And I wanted to die.
And in fairness, we also had to, like, sludge through a mud pit.
Yes, there was a big mud pit you have to sludge through, which I wasn't crazy about, but I respect as part of the race. But I think what I really took from that race today, what I think about when I think about that race today, is if you are half marathon fit, if you can walk out your door and run 13 miles on a road, that does not mean you can walk out and run 13 miles on a trail. If you're in the process of switching from roads to trails, if you see the things, you know, you're watching the new documentaries about the Barkley Marathons or those kinds of things, and you're like, what the heck, I want to get out there, I want to try my hand at trail running. Whatever your favorite race distance is, do one that's half that distance before you try to jump straight into that distance. Because, you know, we ran half marathons, like, literally, like, we got to the point where we could have run a half marathon every weekend and felt good about it, I think.
Yeah.
Just about. And that trail half marathon was the hardest thing I had ever done in my life. And I would not want to repeat that experience. I would need to be much, much fitter. And so we did a trail half marathon yesterday. It had 2,400 feet of gain, so 500 more feet than Charlie Horse. It was much colder. It was, you know, 38 degrees yesterday instead of 85 degrees. But it was very humid. And even though we didn't go much faster, it was 3:18, 3 hours and 18 minutes yesterday.
I mean, that's a half hour.
It's a half an hour faster, fair enough. And 500 extra feet of gain. But the experience even though I was in a lot of pain from mile seven on, the experience was so much better yesterday than my experience at the Charlie Horse. And the sheer reason for that is I've been running trails.
Mm-hmm.
And so my fitness is at just a completely different level, even though I probably could not run a road half as fast as I could on that day.
Yeah. You train like you race and you race like you train.
Right. And in order to race trails, you have to train trails. It's a different sport. It's a completely different sport.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we're looking at. And you know, I'm really thinking about with regard to our 50K is how do we train for that day? And I think we've got some good ideas for how to do that. And we're just going to keep on trucking along. And then hopefully when we check back in here, a little over 3 months, we'll have that thing done.
I think that that's good. And how we will train for the 50K and how we will train so that we race like we trained is a topic for another day. So thanks a lot. This has been Boundary Conditions First Ever Podcast. I'm Eugene.
I'm Melissa.
And we hope to see you again soon. Bye-bye.